now going to resume our hearing, and where we left off with we concluded the Community Services District presentation. There's 45 minutes left of that time, and what we're going to do is allocate that 45 minutes to any of the remaining cease and desist order recipients who collectively want to put on evidence of a general nature. And we can start with that. And I guess first, I'm just curious, Mr. Packard, any updates on anyone else who wishes to settle?
We heard from Lucien Collin this morning who wishes to settle.
Okay.
That's yours. I'm finished. I can't do it.
Mike.
As long as the list doesn't have certain parties' names on it.
Yeah, okay.
This list.
And you have redacted names?
No, there's no redacted name. Oh. There's no. That information is redacted from this list.
What information is redacted?
The information that's not supposed to be released to the public is redacted from this list. The only name that's not on here is Colin, C-O-L-I-N, who, bear with me for a second, sorry. There should be one more added to the bottom here, and that would be Colin. I think this is 24 settling dischargers. Excuse me, 22. Oh. I'm sorry. I have a more updated list. Please bear with me for a second. Does this jive with your list, Michael? Do you have Robinson and 1029 towards the bottom there? Okay. We also have Colin, who informed us this morning that they're willing to settle.
Okay.
What's the total today?
What is it? Do you have a total?
I think it's 24 parties, including Colin, who is not on this list.
Okay. Good. Thank you very much. How many cease and desist order recipients want to participate in this next 45 minutes and put on some collective evidence that will be used automatically and incorporated into the individual hearings? Ms. McPherson, do you have any idea?
I think there's...
And I know you are one of them, I assume, on behalf of who you're... representing.
Yes, I think that there's at least five. Maybe a show of hands.
Can you please identify yourselves? Okay, Mr. Rockte, Mr. Martin, Mr. Payne. You don't even know what I'm asking you about, but I'm glad to see that you're here.
Thank you. I didn't. Could you repeat my?
There's 45 minutes allotted this morning.
Okay.
For those. People that have received cease and desist orders, proposed orders like yourself, that can collectively put on some general evidence that's applicable to all of the other cease and desist order hearings, and that way not burn some of their own 15 minutes of time. So if there's information like that of a general nature that you wish to participate in giving to the board, this group has 45 minutes to do that. Okay. Are you one of them?
Yeah, collectively 45.
Well,
Mr. Chairman.
Yeah.
We went ahead and have four identified, one, two, three, five witnesses that are have common issues, and we're going to go ahead and call them. And that was something that we've kind of organized among ourselves. Yes. So
the people that raised their hands are all part of this.
Yes.
Effort.
Yes.
So if I just, okay.
I think maybe we should explain to Mr. Payne and some other folks who weren't here that this 45 minutes is time left over from the CSD's presentation. They only took 15 minutes, so they had an hour. So we're allotting the 45 minutes to other folks who might have want to talk on issues of common interest. If that explains why it's 45 minutes for everyone.
And thank you.
And so so that you know where that comes from, where's the footnote? Do you have that note? Well, it's the footnote in the proceedings.
Page 2 of the order, Mr. Richards.
Here it is. I've got it. What we're doing is following this part of the notice. The chair will consider requests by designated parties other than the community services district to present general evidence relevant to multiple parties at this time. That's what this is about. So let's go ahead. Ken, clock is running.
Okay. The first witness would be is Rob Miller.
Okay.
Can you just go call him?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board.
Good morning.
Good morning. Can you state your name? I'm sorry.
Mr. Young.
I was going to start asking questions. You want to go ahead and address them first?
There may be people here who didn't take the oath yesterday.
Good point. Where is that? Okay, everyone who was not here yesterday. What's that? Time? I did stop the clock, don't worry. All those that weren't here yesterday and who have or otherwise have not taken the oath, would you please stand if you intend to testify today? Okay. Repeat after me. I solemnly swear to tell the truth.
I solemnly swear to tell the truth.
The whole truth and nothing but the truth.
The whole truth and nothing but the truth.
Under penalty of perjury.
Under penalty of perjury.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Good morning. Can you state your name for the record?
Rob Miller.
Thank you. What is your title?
District engineer.
Okay. Can you give us a little bit of background on your education experience and the company you work for?
Sure. I work for the Wallace Group, a local engineering company, for the past 12 years, involved in wastewater management, primarily here in the San Luis Obispo County area, also Santa Barbara County.
Okay. How long have you been working for the Los Osos CSD?
Since about 1999.
Okay. Are you familiar with the wastewater projects before 1998?
Yes.
Okay. How many have there been?
We can't hear you.
I'm sorry. Somebody said they can't hear me. So do I?
You have to pull it up to your.
Okay. Is there up? Okay. So how I was asking how many wastewater projects there's been since the to your knowledge. Pre-1998 and to date?
My primary involvement with the county project was the assessment engineering portion, and that was the last project I was involved in, but I know there were at least two generations prior to the CSD.
Okay. Are you aware that there is an update to the wastewater facilities plan that was completed in July of this year?
Yes.
What was your role in that project?
We prepared the request for proposals and the scope of work for the consultants, and were involved in some of the interview and selection process, and then, of course, arranging for and facilitating a peer review of that analysis by the National Water Research Institute.
Can you describe some of the key elements of that project?
Yeah, the primary focus of the project was to look at alternative project proposals that focused on site constraints, different disposal methodologies, collection methodologies, and that was the focus, basically to update the 2001 Montgomery Watson project report.
In that report, you mentioned NWRI. Can you tell us who they are?
The National Water Research Institute's a nonprofit group primarily involved with water supply research, mm-hmm. and also wastewater management. Occasionally they do peer review process where they convene a panel of outside experts to review various large or complicated projects, mm-hmm. which in this case that was part of the original project scope, is to make sure we had an independent peer review of the project report update.
And so that was the purpose of the work that they did for Los Osos CSD?
Correct.
What were some of the key conclusions?
The panel convened in November, and a summary report, I believe, has been provided to staff, perhaps the board. They concluded that wastewater management was very important in Los Osos to get a project completed. They also did validate the overall benefits of a land application program in avoiding future regulations for groundwater recharge and those sort of things. They concurred that beneficial reuse was the preferred ultimate method of effluent management. Mm-hmm. They also indicated that in reviewing some of the regional board staff's comments and also reviewing some of the agricultural exchange concepts, that some form of nitrogen removal was necessary to maintain what we're calling agronomic application of effluent. And then I think they provided some useful input to the county in understanding the context of their review to take some first steps towards developing at least one viable project alternative, maybe more, mm-hmm. based on some of the concepts presented in the Ripley plan. So we felt like it was a helpful process, involved regional board staff and county staff, and mm-hmm. a good first step for the county.
Mm-hmm. Did they give you a time frame for a completed project or comment on that?
We did ask the panel, based on information presented by board staff and the county, to give an opinion on that matter, and they estimated a minimum of 4 years.
Okay.
But when you look at the range, it'd be 4 to 5 years mm-hmm. documented in their report.
Did you believe, I was going to ask if you believed that was reasonable?
It seemed to be reasonable. Obviously, there are some factors such as litigation that may be outside of that time frame.
But for the project in general without litigation, that would be considered perhaps reasonable?
Assuming a successful 218 vote
mm-hmm.
this year.
Was this report shared with the Water Board staff?
Yes. Yes.
Can you tell us who was specifically in attendance?
Matt Thompson and Allison Dominguez.
Mm-hmm. Who invited them?
NWRI, their chief executive, Jeff Mosier, extended invitations both to the regional board and to the county with the hope of getting a balanced discussion.
Who from the county attended?
It was Pava Ogren, John Waddell, their project manager, and several of their consultant team. I believe Lou Corella from Corollo Engineering, and Carl Hadler, also from Corollo. as I recall.
Do you believe that it was helpful to a successful process for peer review to have these people there?
I think it was critical. If they limited their comments to simply reviewing the report and didn't understand the context, which is that the county is taking a lead role on the project, I think that would have been a mistake. I think in bringing the correct players together, it does form a basis for hearing that feedback during the discussions and providing a more useful product.
In your opinion, did they seem encouraged by the results?
I think the report indicates that they're supportive of the overall concepts and feel that the project report update was a useful document for the district and the community.
Some of the reasons given justifying individual enforcement actions was that we had no responsible lead agency. Do you think that that's the case today?
The county process, as outlined in their June staff report, provides a framework for the county's involvement, and that involvement includes identification of viable project alternatives, a technical advisory group, ultimately culminating in a 218 vote, I'm sure as everyone here knows. And it's at that time that the county would convene a general election to provide some input, an advisory vote, and based on the results of that, the Board of Supervisors would make a decision as to their next steps on the project, assuming that the Prop 218 vote passed. But in terms of a normal process of advancing environmental review and retaining qualified consultants to advance the project, the county certainly has taken that role.
So if we look back over the last 6 to 8 months, in your opinion, would you think that the actions that have occurred and demonstrate reasonable progress towards a project?
Yeah, assuming that everybody understands the approach on the project report update was to look at a different project, then yes, progress towards a project has been made. The normal process there would be project report update, providing the context for environmental review that's been done, and then, of course, the county taking its role.
You briefly described the process to deliver a project. Can you tell me how the 218 assessment vote fits in and what is the timing?
Yes. The county, in order to avoid, and they could probably testify to this better than I could, undue costs to the general public, the overall county ratepayer, has adopted a process wherein a 218 vote, which identifies what we call the special benefit to all of the properties, would be held sometime next fall, August, September timeframe, 2007, and that process would precede any advisory election, and that's something that they've talked about in detail in their deliberations with their board, but that's their process.
And after the 218 vote passes, and if it's successful, then is it your understanding that the county would then do a due diligence review?
Yes, the Board of Supervisors still retains discretion to either take action on the project or not. So once the 218 vote, if it is successful, passes, then after the advisory vote, they would make a decision after a due diligence process as to whether they would implement the project.
So what would you estimate would be the time frame when the county actually took control of the project under their current plan?
My understanding, and that's, again, a question that could probably be directed to the county, is that in the latter half of 2008 was what they were targeting.
Okay. The county isn't here, Paavo is out of town, and so I'm sorry to ask you all these questions, but I know you're involved in those meetings. In your opinion, would the use of the county as a lead agency better assure the delivery of a project? And I've kind of already asked that, but I'm going to ask that again.
Meaning compared to the district?
Yes.
Pursuing a project at this point. Given the financial capabilities of the county, also the environmental capabilities, and that they have in-house staff to perform some of those functions, the ability to achieve an acceptable rating on any bonding, and then the ability to deliver a large project of this magnitude, I would agree with that, that the county is probably the right entity to advance the project at this point.
Is the 2011 date for hooking up, for individuals to hook up to a completed project, a reasonable date?
Again, object to that question, Mr. Chairman. There's no foundation for that particular date used by Ms. McPherson.
Well, the requirement is to hook up to a sewer, and there's some people that had the perception
I'm going to let
that,
answer the question.
Yeah, there's some people that have the assumption that maybe that date is just to get the thing going, and I understand, you know, how that works, but is it a reasonable date to hook up to a completed project?
It obviously would depend on many factors. Those of us who have carefully watched previous processes and the amount of litigation and other things, I don't know if you're making the assumption that there would be no litigation of an environmental document. We've seen in the past significant delays associated with litigation. That would be a date that would be consistent with a normal project process where an environmental document is adopted, unchallenged, mm-hmm. and permitting proceeds quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's litigation, I could see that date.
And
too optimistic.
Okay. Are you aware of statements in 2005 during the meeting with the State Water Resources Control Board when they were trying to go ahead and continue a project and continue funding, where the representatives from the State Water Resources Control Board said the project would take 8 to 10 years?
I don't recall those specifically.
No. Do you recall the board meeting when they denied the funding for what was considered or called at the time the Blakeslee Compromise in 2005?
I recall hearing of the board meeting but didn't attend personally.
Okay, thank you. So really, what date do you think is a realistic date to hook up to a sewer plant if all went smoothly without litigation for an actual hookup to the sewer? Because that's what individuals are required to do, is to hook up to the sewer.
Mm-hmm. In the previous project, we had conceptualized that once the first phase of the collection system was completed, we would give the average owner 6 to 12 months to effect a hookup.
Mm-hmm.
So if the NWRI estimate is accurate in terms of a smooth process without litigation, 4 to 5 years is probably an appropriate estimate. The thought was to give the average homeowner 6 to 12 months to hook up. Part of that was based on the overall regional ability to manage septage, to accomplish the sheer number of hookups is going to take some time, but not an extended time. 6 to 12 months seemed to be a reasonable time frame.
So I just want to ask one question. Does that 4 to 5 years then include the 6 to 12 months?
No. No, that would be to deliver a completed project and begin
the 6
hooking
to 12-month hookup process.
Right. And obviously, I think some folks would hook up very quickly. We would hope to get the larger users so that the process, the wastewater plant, could biological process could begin. For instance, the mobile home parks, Bay Ridge Estates, Vista, areas that have more users. Those would be properties we identified previously as wanting to hook up so we could get some loading to the plant. and then the average single-family owner would take more time.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
I have just one last question, and it's probably based on your opinion. But with all things considered, with the timing of the vote and the possible perception of electioneering surrounding the CDO and the vote, would you think it might be a better date of the county approving acceptance of the project as the project date? Right now it says in the CDO 2008 for a 218 vote. As a progress date, using instead the county's actual approval to accept the project. Would that be a better measure?
I think I understood the question as if you were looking for an enforcement milestone, mm-hmm. would that milestone be either the successful completion of a 218 vote or not, or would it be the county's discretionary decision to assume control of the project
yes.
once a 218 vote is successful?
Yes, thank you.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, I think both dates are very important. In terms of a final date, obviously that Board of Supervisors decision, since it could theoretically go either way, I think is perhaps the one critical milestone for establishing the remainder of the time frame of the project. But I think both milestones are important. For instance, you wouldn't necessarily want to delay that 218 vote more than you would want to, because as soon as we can get before the voters, we'll know if there's a secure funding source.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a very important project milestone also.
I thought of another question. In cease and desist orders, it's common to have milestones more than just these two. Sometimes they insert a time schedule order or something like that. Is this? Would you think that would be a good idea, or do you think that it's fleshed out enough at this point to be able to assume certain milestones?
I think it would be prudent, since I know the county is, I'm sure, working on a critical path schedule.
Mm-hmm.
For their overall process, they've given the Board of Supervisors some general time frames.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would be prudent to have board staff obtain that schedule when it's ready.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly there's been a commitment on the 218 vote and the time frame there,
mm-hmm.
But we'd really want to see the county lay out their schedule as opposed to speaking for them. But I think as soon as that's done, that would be an appropriate time to begin looking at inserting some dates.
And one last question about that NWRI report.
Sure.
Did they recommend a unanimous location inside or outside of town?
And I don't want to misspeak here. I did bring a copy of the report if anyone's interested. Their statement, it was that given the number of problematic issues with the downtown site, it is the unanimous opinion of the panel that an out-of-town site is a better alternative.
Okay.
That was their statement.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Any other questions or any other witnesses?
I do have other witnesses,
okay.
But I didn't know if there were any others that wanted to ask any questions that of
Chairman,
this witness.
Okay. Permission to for some brief cross-examination?
Yeah, I think we will do that. Let's just see how we're going to kind of break that up. Maybe let's see if anyone else has direct examination questions for him, and then we'll give you an opportunity to cross-examine. Do any other cease and desist order recipients want to ask any questions of Mr. Miller as part of this 45 minutes? Part of the 45 minutes.
Okay.
That's what we're doing.
Okay.
Yeah. Mr. Dugan.
I don't think so.
I think he doesn't want to Mr. Dugan?
With my case.
It doesn't. This is not time taken from the 15 minutes, but it is time deducted. You've got 24 minutes left.
Can you ask it in your name?
Your client did settle, right, Mr. Martin?
No.
Okay.
My client is Cynthia Coleman. My name is Dave Dugan. My client is Cynthia Coleman. She has not settled.
Okay.
I'll keep it brief.
Asking questions of this witness.
I will. Mr. Miller, you are familiar with the hydrology of the basin, Los Osos Water Basin, correct?
In general terms, yes.
Okay. And so your expertise was called as part of this group was to lend that kind of expertise as well?
We've been, again, our expertise on hydraulics and hydrology from the groundwater basin's perspective is general and would generally retain an expert such as Cleethan Associates to answer specific questions.
Okay. We have Cleethan coming up next. I didn't know that, and so I'll just go ahead and retain, stop my questioning then. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, Mr. Payne.
Just one quick question. Was affordability and sustainability addressed in this study? Thank you.
Thank you. If I understood the question, the issue of sustainability was one of the requirements of the project scope that the consultant consider sustainability concepts such as energy use, sludge production, those sorts of things. The issue of affordability is something that the district board had separated into a potential different study, and that I believe got as far as a draft request for proposals, but that was to go on a different parallel track, but I don't believe the district specifically pursued that analysis.
Okay. Does Mr. Martin have questions for this witness?
One very brief question, Mr. Miller. Knowing the facts as you know them and as you have testified here this morning, would you be inclined to sign the settlement agreement that's been proposed by the prosecution team?
I haven't reviewed that matter in detail, although I anticipate reviewing it at some point since I do reside in the community also.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
Does anyone else wish to ask Mr. Miller questions? Okay, we'll have then the prosecution team. And there's 22 minutes left.
Thank you.
On that clock. And the clock has stopped. Mr. Sato, cross-examination of this witness.
That'll be me.
And I think both of us will have a couple questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman. Thank you, Rob, for coming in this morning.
I know.
Are you familiar with the Los Osos Baywood Park discharge prohibition in the basin plan?
Yes.
Does the Los Osos Baywood Park discharge prohibition mean that septic system discharges are prohibited there within the prohibition zone?
That's my understanding.
Do you believe a community wastewater system is necessary to resolve the discharge prohibition?
Yes.
Do you have any information to suggest that the county will not be able to approve the benefit assessment in 2007?
No.
Are you familiar with the proposed cease and desist orders?
In general terms.
Okay. Are you aware that the January 11, 2011 date is not triggered unless the county does not approve the benefit assessment or unless there is a material cessation of work?
I had heard that in conversation, yes.
That's all I have for you now. Thanks.
Okay.
And I just have a couple questions.
Go ahead.
Good morning, Mr. Miller. My name is Reed Sato, and I'm the attorney for the prosecution team. I don't think you were here yesterday to hear our introductions. Just quickly following up on the questions that Mr. Thompson had, I think that, is it your testimony that the approval of the benefits assessment would be considered a critical milestone to you? In terms of the progress of the county's sewer project?
Yes.
And just want to make sure, in terms of looking at the proposed cease and desist order. Have you actually read the proposed cease and desist order?
I read an early version. I haven't read the most recent.
All right. So any questions that have been posed to you by Ms. McPherson or any of the designated parties is based upon a characterization that they may have of the cease and desist order as opposed to any familiarity that you have with that proposed order. Is that correct?
Correct. I've been trying to answer the based on the content of the question as opposed to review of the order.
Okay. Now, and I think that you talked about how you thought it would be important that there be some type of, if the sewer project goes forward with the county, that there be some kind of schedule that the county would adhere to in order to get that project to completion. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. And I guess even though you haven't read the report, do you think it would be a good idea that within any proposed order addressing this matter that some reference be made to such a schedule by the county for completion of the project?
Would these be on individual orders, those milestone dates, or on a general order to the county?
In terms of reference to the orders to the county.
Those are important milestones for any project delivery.
Thank you very much.
Okay. 22 minutes left.
Okay. We'll call Tim Cleath.
Okay. And could you state and spell your name for the record?
My name is Timothy Stephen Cleath, Timothy Stephencleath. My address is 1390 Ocean Air Drive in San Luis Obispo.
Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. I wanted to ask you about your background and the extent of the work in Los Osos very briefly because we don't have a lot of time.
Okay. My background is I'm a certified hydrogeologist, state of California, number 81, certified engineering geologist, number 1102 in the state of California, master's degree in geology from Cal State University, Los Angeles. I've been working in our firm, Cleath & Associates. I'm owner of Cleath & Associates, a hydrogeologic engineering geology consulting firm. We've been working in Los Osos both on water and wastewater issues, as well as other geologic-related issues for 20 years. And we have been involved with evaluating wastewater disposal locations, also seawater intrusion issues, and other issues that we've been working with the Los Osos Community Services District. We are currently going to be consulting with the county as well on some of their considerations on this project.
Are you aware of any data that's been collected on individual properties in Los Osos?
What kind of data?
Data from the septic tanks, specifically the 45 defendants.
I'm not aware of any work that's been done specifically on those lots.
Okay. Have you read the Water Board's staff report?
My associate has read it. I've read his review of those comments on that staff report.
Can you tell me what the net difference in contaminant load reaching the groundwater between a functioning and a non-functioning septic tank might be?
Could you give me that question one more time, please?
Can you tell me what the net difference in the contaminant load reaching the groundwater in a functioning versus a non-functioning septic tank?
It all depends on what the contaminant is and what's meant by functioning, non-functioning. Generally, a functioning on-site disposal system is intended to deal with microbial issues primarily and also to allow nitrogen processing so that when it reaches the groundwater, the ammonium and the other non-nitrate constituents would be dealt with.
Mm-hmm.
How much loading there is from one, it all depends on the constituent. Generally, the mineral pickup is not affected by an on-site wastewater disposal.
Okay.
System.
Can you explain what it means by density in that report?
Yes. Density has to do with the amount of on-site wastewater disposal systems that are located in a certain area.
Do you believe that the CDO pumping and inspection program will have a significant positive effect on the water quality before a community sewer plant is built?
No.
So are you saying from your expertise that the CDO measures will not make a significant difference in the interim or even in the long term?
That's correct.
Perhaps? Because otherwise we maybe wouldn't have a water quality problem at all if that were true. Is that a fair statement?
Well, I don't know about that, but,
okay.
But I don't think it would be a significant effect.
Okay, so the basic problem is septic tank density. Are you aware of the area called the Prohibition Zone?
Yes.
Can you tell me why it is drawn to include the Elfin Forest?
Why it is wrong to include the Elfin Forest?
Yeah. There's no housing there.
I don't know if it's right or wrong. I don't see that there's going to be a big problem in that area.
But the...
I'm sorry.
Drawn. They drew the line around the Elfin Forest, is what I was saying.
Oh, I see.
Yes.
I don't know why they drew that line that way.
Okay. If density is an issue, the Elfin Forest doesn't have houses, is my point.
Okay.
Do you believe that making sure septic tanks are functioning well is a good idea?
Oh, yes.
Okay, so... If it's a good idea to maintain septic tanks, but it doesn't improve the water quality, can you tell me what the benefits might be?
Well, generally, with a on-site wastewater disposal system, you want to make sure that there's no surfacing of the effluent with health and safety concerns.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the primary things. Also, you want to give an on-site wastewater disposal system the ability to have some percolatability so that there is some process that occurs in the vadose zone above the water table.
Okay, so... the staff report stated in its conclusion, in quotes, the requirements of the CDO are reasonable interim measures to reduce the water quality effects of the ongoing illegal septic system discharges. Is that statement not really true?
In my opinion, I don't think it will make a significant effect.
Okay. Did you find anything in the staff report that defined or quantified the benefit to water quality?
No.
Are you familiar with the Yates and Williams study?
Yes, they worked under our contract.
Are you aware that they said that there's significant, is it true that the significant changes in the upper aquifer will not occur based on the current CDO that's proposed? But that it's going to take a few decades for any improvement?
Well, they didn't address the CDO impacts,
mm-hmm.
but in terms of the entire wastewater system being converted to a unified system, when they did the analysis, they said 30 to 40 years time for there to be some substantial improvement in water quality.
So in terms...
That refers mainly to mineral constituents like nitrates.
Okay, so in terms of this short time frame of a couple of years or a few years to get a treatment plant built, would you agree that there's not going to be a significant or really any water quality improvement?
I believe that any improvement would be very inconsequential, a very minor improvement that may be very just localized and very short term. But overall, long term, there will be no impact other than very, very minor localized impacts.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
Can you hit the time?
Okay. I guess we'll open it up into any of the other cease and desist order recipients that wish to ask more questions. There's 14 minutes left.
Okay, I have two. I do have two more witnesses to call. So,
Well, we've got 14 minutes and 30 seconds, so.
But they have cross-examination of witnesses, and I don't believe they're calling witnesses in, well, I don't know that for certain for every one of them. Yeah, but they do have time for these guys individually, too?
Yeah, Mr. Martin, on behalf of whoever he's representing, has 15 minutes later.
Okay.
With the individual cease and desist order case. Dugan, pardon me.
I was anticipating there wouldn't be very many witnesses called within each hearing, individual hearing, and so I didn't want to burn all of our time if they had individual time that might be available. So if they wanted to donate...
If they want to do that now, then we'll set a separate clock and deduct from their 15 minutes.
Okay, well, I... Well, if
okay.
I didn't understand that Ms. McPherson got the whole 45 minutes and no one else did.
No. Well, she's not.
Okay.
This is why Mr. Dugan is going to ask questions and others, but I think that they're trying.
We're trying to consolidate this.
I'm hearing from my colleagues, Ms.
Sure.
McPherson, that I'm
not a problem.
Going too far in one direction. They don't like that. So 45 minutes is going to stick, but. Okay, Mr. Dugan, go ahead.
Dave Dugan, Los Osos, representing Cynthia Coleman. Mr. Cleith, you are involved with the studies of the hydraulic of the basin, correct?
Correct.
And are you familiar with the, I guess they call it anomaly, of the Los Osos earthquake fault? I believe it's called Strand B?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And... doesn't that fault basically run, I would say, through the middle of town towards Morro Bay?
That's where they have it drawn, yes. I don't believe that it is actually exists personally, but I know that there's some people who have postulated it.
Are you aware of the Coastal Commission's conditions relating to the approval of the permit for the wastewater treatment facility?
Yes.
And are you aware of the condition 20, which they asked for a hydrology study?
Right.
And are you aware that they accepted the maps that were included in the conditions as and accepted those, and in those maps they have Strand B on the maps?
I don't know all the specific details
but
on that.
But you do know that Strand B is part of the process?
Yes, it's been discussed for a long time.
Okay. Are you aware that around Pismo and 14th, and specifically on the east side of Strand B, of what's called a... a mounding of water... which is a kind of an anomaly, I guess you would say, but it causes the flow of affluent air or the waters to flow east and instead of into the bay?
If you postulate that the fault exists, you may say that there's a mound against the fault. In many respects, some of those areas are perched, and that's why water levels are higher in those areas.
But the hydrology shows that the water flows east towards Los Osos Creek?
If you go east of South Bay Boulevard, portions of that does flow towards the east, towards Los Osos Creek.
To emphasize, since you don't describe to the fault being there, I won't ask any more questions about the fault, but the when the permits are issued... these conditions were asked of the Los Osos to so they can go forward with the project. There is not just your study, but other hydrologists that are involved with this as well, and they take the and do. Is that answer yes?
There have been others.
Okay, and those other hydrologists and people who study hydrology submit this data, and it's an assumption. In most cases, this is really an assumption of data. In other words, nothing's absolute, but it's your best assumption.
Certain things you make assumptions on, yes. Okay. Other things you have pretty hard data on, yes.
Okay, that's all I have. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Payne, did you want to ask any questions? Okay. And Mr. Rockton? Okay. Anyone else who is a cease and desist order recipient wish to ask this witness any questions? Okay, I'll allow the prosecution team to do any cross-examination if they want.
Thanks. I'll make it brief. Thank you for coming, Mr. Cleef. Is your hydrogeology firm responsible for preparing groundwater monitoring reports for the Los Osos CSD?
We are assisting the district with analysis of the data. We designed the monitoring plan and did it ourselves for the first few times, and the county has taken over the sampling, and we evaluate their data and prepare the monitoring report now.
Okay, thank you. Are you so then, may I presume you're familiar with the groundwater monitoring well network?
Very much.
Is that groundwater monitoring well network representative of groundwater in the Los Osos Baywood Park prohibition zone?
The answer to that, really, you have to understand why we designed the monitoring plan. The monitoring plan was done in order to evaluate baseline conditions for a wastewater treatment plant and the proposed disposal plan that they have. And so we're establishing baseline conditions. We found that they're highly variable nitrate concentrations, and it's one of those things where I wouldn't feel comfortable by if you told me a block away we have a site and we have a water sampling point over here. Does that represent what's a block away? And I would say I would be very careful to say that this is not designed to evaluate something at a different location. In general, it does give you a picture of first water nitrate conditions. But I wouldn't even make an effort. In fact, we've contoured. You've shown a map from the monitoring reports, which shows a contoured nitrate concentration. But I don't think that that's. In fact, in this most recent monitoring plan report, we've taken out those contours. We've had caveats in those previous exhibits saying that. This is general in nature, but I think that if by contouring it, sometimes it gives you the feeling like everything's consistent between the points, and it isn't.
Okay.
So is it in general an accurate presentation? Generally, yes, but site specifically, I would feel that you'd need to do additional work.
Does shallow groundwater in the Los Osos Prohibition Zone exceed the drinking water standard for nitrate?
In some locations, yes.
Do you believe septic system discharges have degraded groundwater quality?
I do, yes.
Would you agree that septic system discharges should be eliminated to improve groundwater quality in the Prohibition Zone?
I guess I don't have that authority, but would it help to reduce the nitrate loading? As long as the new system deals with that, yes, I think that would help.
Thank you, sir. That's all I have for you.
Okay.
I have one question.
Sure.
I
don't want to waste the time.
In your opinion, is it reasonable for owners and operators of septic systems to pump and inspect those facilities from time to time?
I think that the answer to that is yes. The frequency all depends on how the septic tank it is operating.
Thank you.
Okay. Next.
Hold on one second. Yeah. Yeah, you know, a question I had has to do with Dr. Wickham's testimony. I don't know if you heard him.
I did.
At the first hearing.
Well, I heard him at other presentations, yes.
Okay. Have you heard any of his opinions regarding aerial deposition of nitrogen from the emissions from the power plant?
I don't believe it's significant. Yes, okay. I did hear him say that, and I thought that was a little far-fetched, personally.
Okay. All right. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. Unless you have any follow-up questions. I mean, you have 11 minutes, and if you want to
I have another. Well, I have another witness that I'm going to try to fit in
That's
the 11
fine.
Minutes.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. And I did have follow-up questions, but I think we'll just do our best to get as much in this
okay.
process
well,
as possible.
He can be brought back if he's agreeable to that,
mm-hmm.
the individual.
We were trying to avoid that so we could incorporate that.
Right,
that time, and that's why I was suggesting that if people wanted to ask questions, cross-examine individually, that they would use their time from their hearing if they weren't going to call him as a witness separately. But it was just a suggestion.
Okay. All right.
Okay, the next witness is Rob Scheib.
Okay.
Hello, my name is Rob Scheib.
Rob has, if we could stop the time, Rob has some documents that need to go on the overhead. And the overhead isn't set up yet.
Yeah, okay. They're just going to need to be kind of flipped, whole section at a time. Or if it'd be easier, I can just testify with a wireless mic and stand there and do it myself.
Is that possible?
Check, check.
No karaoke.
Okay, let's see. Okay.
Okay, I'll be asking you some questions. State for the record your name.
My name is Rob Scheib, R-O-B-S-H-I-P-E.
And what is your relationship to the proceedings today?
I settled with the prosecution.
Did you prepare for the hearings?
Yes, fully.
In front of you in the papers you have is your evidence package called Scheib 10-3 Info PDF, and it's located also on the website of the Water Board?
That is correct.
There are two questions before the board today. One is, are individuals responsible for the discharges in violation of the prohibition zone? And the second one, are remedies of the CDO appropriate? And I'll be asking about how the documents in your evidence package relate to these two questions before the board.
Okay.
Okay, so the first document you have up there, can you identify the document?
This is the Memorandum of Understanding with the Regional Water Quality Control Board and the County of San Luis Obispo.
Okay, what sections will you be referring to?
I'll be referring to sections 1, 2, and 3, and specifically numbers 1 and 7 under 3.
Can you tell me what they say?
Briefly, they clearly spell out that the County of San Luis Obispo is the agency that's responsible for discharges in Los Osos. And within the entire county, not just individual dischargers.
And what text, can you identify the text that says that? Or
specifically, as we look at the bottom down here of 1, it says, in the County of San Luis Obispo, the planning director is the administrator of the individual sewage disposal systems and regulations. Section 2 states that the Memorandum of Understanding defines cooperative roles for the County of San Luis Obispo and the Regional Board with respect to the regulations of on-site sewage disposal systems and compliance with the purpose and intent of the Basin Plan and applicable county ordinances and regulations.
Okay.
Then into Section 3. Number one basically says that the county representative responsible for making sure all septic tanks are responsible for septic tanks is responsible for all making sure that we're in compliance with all ordinances and regulations.
Okay. Now, can you identify the next document for me, the February 21st, 1984 letter to and from?
Yes.
Okay.
This February 21st, 1984 letter was a letter regarding the passage of this board from 8312, resolution 8312.
Okay, so the systems are under regulatory authority of the county and the Water Board, and
yes.
That shows a conditional waiver. regulation?
Yes. Number one says on-site disposal system serving up to 5 dwelling units or designed for less than 2,500 gallons per day are under the regulatory authority of the County of San Luis Obispo. Regional board, which has conditionally waived regulation of this size system, need not be informed or of approval or denial of these systems.
Okay. Is there other documentation that indicates who the responsible agency is? Do you find documentation, any documentation in their files that shows any other notification of authority that had been removed?
There is nothing in what I saw that removed that authority. There was one letter from Roger Briggs dated, September 5th, which states that the regional board will now be reviewing all new additions within the prohibition zone.
Can you, do you have that letter? 921.
Yes.
Can you put that up there on the overhead?
Actually, on the list, the county listed it as the 21st, but it's actually September 5th.
Okay.
And that's the letter right there.
And is that from Roger Briggs?
Let's look at the next page. I believe it is.
And
yes, I believe that's his name and signature right there.
And does that say that the Water Board will now approve any new buildings or additions?
Yes.
Okay. What conclusions did you reach when you reviewed these documents?
It appears that the County of San Luis Obispo would be responsible for discharges in this case from the Regional Water Quality Control Board's perspective.
Not individuals?
Absolutely.
Okay, regarding the second question before the board, are the requirements in the CDO appropriate? Can you please refer back to the MOU?
Okay. Yes, according to the Memorandum of Understanding, Section 3, number 6, if I can pull that one forward.
Is that the section that states the regional board will keep the county and specifically the Department of Planning and Building informed of changes in regulations and guidelines?
Yes, it is.
And from the review of the files and work on with residents that you have done so far, what have you found?
That the county has failed to adequately notify... I'm sorry, let me strike that. The regional board has failed to properly notify the County of San Luis Obispo regarding the basin plan prohibition.
And you looked through their files, and did you find some notifications regarding 8312?
I found notifications regarding 8312. I found some notifications regarding the 1988 ruling. But I found nothing regarding 8313 in the county records.
So did you find anything at all stating that it was a prohibition of discharges from individual households or that they were illegal or that they were subject to individual enforcement and fines?
No.
Did you find anything stating that the regulations must comply with the prohibitions?
I'm sorry, say that again?
Did you find that they had anything stating that... that they needed to comply with regulations regarding a prohibition zone?
There was a document that stated that they must stay in compliance with the prohibition.
But nothing regarding a prohibition zone?
Well, there was on that first. It says this one regarding 8312 from December 16th, 83. Your regulations must comply with items within the prohibitions section of this amendment. And once again, we're referencing the prohibitions within 8312, not the prohibition zone within 8313.
So you found nothing regarding the notification in of 8313 in
no,
the files?
There was
okay,
nothing.
I need to move on because we're going to have to go kind of quick here.
Yeah.
I found, when I was looking through your things, I found a document relating to the 1988 ruling by the Water Board.
Yes.
Specifically talking about a meeting held between two agencies.
Yes.
What did those documents say regarding the 1988 ruling of this board?
Basically, what it said... I can find.
Can you put the letter from Paul Crawford to Roger Briggs?
Yeah, yes, this is the letter from Paul Crawford to Roger Briggs, dated January 21st, 1988. And it reads, this is intended to summarize the conclusions reached at our meeting on January 21st, 1988, which included John Ghani and Jay Cano of your staff, Tim Mazzacano, County Director of Environmental Health, Fred Norton, and Doug Morris of my staff, you and I. We met to clarify the provisions of your board's order of January 8th, and we agreed upon the following points, all of which resulted from the basic understanding that the order of the Regional Water Quality Control Board prohibits this office from issuing any construction permits which would result in new sewage discharge and increases in discharge from existing sewage disposal systems within the prohibition area. And then it goes on to outline what those restrictions are.
And so, Rob?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, so the restrictions that they outline, is that item 8 on there?
One of the items was item 8, and that was an interesting item. As Mr. Thompson gave a possibility of avoiding discharges by getting a holding tank. But item number 8 on this says that holding tanks shall not be allowed as a method of sewage disposal, which means the only option that he's given us is would make us in violation of the basin plan.
Okay, thank you. In that, this back to the Paul Crawford from William Leonard.
Yes.
The second document.
That was the response.
Okay. And did Mr. Leonard sign the letter himself?
No. The letter from Mr. Leonard was not signed by Mr. Leonard, but instead it was signed for him by Roger Briggs.
Okay. So if the board were to somehow find that the county was not responsible for the discharges, then in fact that their own staff was responsible for misinforming the agency responsible for making sure that we are compliant with all ordinance and regulations in the basins. Is that pretty much what we're talking about in the second question?
Yes. Basically, the regional board had a responsibility to notify the County of San Luis Obispo regarding any regulations on on-site systems. The regional board, and specifically Roger Briggs, failed in that responsibility. And because of that, we have been notified in our community that the prohibition zone is a prohibition on building, a prohibition on new sources of discharge.
Okay, so are you saying that the failure of 45 individuals to know about the basin plan prohibition is not a matter of ignorance of the law, it's a matter of being misinformed by the person who came up with the whole idea for the CDOs themselves?
Absolutely.
Can you tell me who you met with at the county?
Yes, I spoke with Mr. Doug Morris. He was actually at that meeting on January 21st, 1988.
Can you tell us somewhat quickly about how your two-hour meeting progressed?
Actually, it wasn't a two-hour meeting. I ended up waiting around for 2 hours. I went down to, after deposing Mr. Briggs, he said a couple things, and so I went down to the county offices to look up some of these documents to find out for myself. I started asking about the prohibition zone and if I could find any information about the prohibition of discharges. And literally, everybody there looked at me like I was crazy because none of them had any idea. And this is Department of Planning and Building. These are the people who are supposed to be responsible for on-site systems within our community. And so I went around and got passed around from person to person to person. I went through 6 or 7 people. And then by the time I reached the end of it, I got a hold of Doug Morris. And actually, I was the one who informed him that that 1980 ruling by your board was a prohibition of discharges, okay, not a prohibition against building anymore.
Okay, Mr. Scheib, what is the, you have the Los Osos building moratorium document?
Yes, I do.
Page 17?
You'll have to wrap it up.
Okay, page 17.
I'll give you one more question.
Is it possible to use time out of my presentation? To finish him?
No.
Okay.
My colleague
okay.
said no. So
okay.
Stick to that. This is the last question.
Okay. We'll be calling him back as a witness then during our tip.
That's fine.
That would be okay. Okay. Well, then we'll save the Los Osos building moratorium document. Let me see if there's. Well, I guess we can start on that. We can go back to it. What is the official policy Page 17, can you read that?
Yes, the official policy, this statement says, on Friday, January 8, 1988, the California Regional Quality Control Board imposed a moratorium on new sources of sewage discharge and increases in volume of existing sources in the community of Baywood Los Osos. The moratorium was imposed through the provisions of a memorandum of understanding executed between the county and the Regional Water Board in December 1978 and imposes a variety of responsibilities on the county. The purpose of this memo is to set forth the official Department of Planning and Building policy regarding, on the implementation of this moratorium by staff. This document, everybody who has went in and asked for a building permit from the county in Los Osos has received this document. Everybody who has built in Los Osos has had a signed statement saying that they will comply with this document and that the that if not, it's a misdemeanor offense if they fail to comply with this document.
We'll come back to that, okay, when we ask another question. I just want to wrap it up with this. The first paragraph reads, the Water Board ruling stated that it was a moratorium on new sources of discharge and increases in volume of existing sources.
That is correct.
And that's what's cited in the MOU. And that's what's stated in the official policy?
Yes.
So the moratorium is on new sources of discharge and increases in volume of existing sources, not a ban on illegal septic tank discharge. Is that?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. That time has expired, and the prosecution team can cross-examine Mr. Scheib if they wish to.
You can leave those up there. That's fine. I'm going to turn it off. You can turn it off. But I would like you to stay up here. You can stand at the podium if you'd like.
I was going to just go over the podium.
Okay.
Oops. Okay. Yes.
Thanks, Rob. I'm handing you a document. Could you read the header at the top there?
Yes. Discharge of waste from individual and community sewage disposal systems are prohibited effective November 1st, 1988 in the Los Osos Baywood Park area and more particularly described as.
Okay. Can you bear with me for a second, please? Okay. Searle, can you hand me page 4 from the basin plan? Resolution 8313 in that appendix. I can't figure out. I need to display this computer screen. Thanks for your patience, Rob.
Okay.
Is what you just read the first little paragraph at the top there?
Yes.
Okay. In the document, is that Regional Board Resolution 8313 that you're reading?
It's a part of it, yes.
Okay. Could you read that first paragraph again?
Discharge of waste from individual and community sewage disposal systems are prohibited effective November 1st, 1988 in the Los Osos Baywood Park area and more particularly described as...
Okay, thank you. I've highlighted a box for you in my copy of the Basin Plan Resolution.
Yes.
Is that the same highlighted section as I'm pointing to there with the pen?
Yes, it is.
Could you please read that for me?
Be it further resolved that compliance with the above prohibition of existing individual or community sewage disposal systems shall be achieved in according to the following time schedule.
Does that statement refer to existing individual or community sewage disposal systems?
Let me read it. I'm sorry. Yes.
That's all I have for you. Thank you.
I have just a couple questions for you, Mr. Scheib. The letters that you presented to us today, it's fair to say that that's simply your interpretation of what the letters say. Is that correct?
No, I don't think so. I think the letters speak for themselves and they're pretty clear.
Exactly. The letters speak for themselves. Thank you.
Okay.
Can I make one comment? Okay. If not, no problem. Okay.
Not unless there's a question pending before you. All right. That concludes that portion of the hearing, so we will now begin the